You're listening to The Big Show.
They score!
With Russick and Rose.
He rips the puck off the bar and in. His second goal of the game makes it 5-0 Flames.
Ready to go now.
On the official home of your Calgary Flames.
Robbed by Markstrom. What a save. It's loose. And Markstrom makes another miraculous stop.
This is Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Oh, I missed you, friends. Good morning, everybody. I hope you're doing well. Really glad that we got this snow right back, but you know what? It's fine. Move right past it. Golf season was here for all of 10 seconds. That was great. Now back to this.
Nobody would miss this. Nobody
did. No, I didn't miss it. I was down in the desert. Patty didn't miss it. He was out east. GVP didn't miss it. He hasn't ever left the province.
It was a beautiful weekend, I hear.
It was an amazing weekend.
Yesterday was nice, too, until like 5 o'clock.
Yeah, right around 6, it was getting ugly. Yeah. Sky was getting gray, and then, you know, kind of see those coming.
I got the notification on my phone as I was nestling into the hay. Wintry elements.
Wintry mix.
Coming at 10:30 tonight.
I didn't think it was going to be this much. Woke up, looked at my car, and I was like,
a lot
oh,
of it's
man.
Melting on contact. The ground's pretty warm.
Quite a wintry fix. Nevertheless, head on a swivel out there today, friends.
Pack
welcome,
the patience.
Welcome back to the Big Show. Yesterday.
Yeah, it was scary.
Who was here?
I was the most senior member of this radio show.
Okay.
I'm 23 years old.
Ron Klein.
Yeah.
Ron and Klein.
GVP. Yeah.
Connor and Simon in the other room.
Yes.
Yes.
Also, thank you, Simon, for picking the morning. I know you had your option, and thank you for sticking around.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Or cooler.
Yeah.
Well, I guess they have an afternoon intern as well now. So you can't have two interns in the same program.
I guess you can. Or you could.
You could. It'd be messy.
We just have to come up with more work for them. Which also isn't that hard. Now, actually, we don't really do that much work around here to start with, so it's... My name's Matty Rose, he's Patty Dumont, GVP's right here. In the other room, we got Simon, we got Connor, we have just a collection of lads. Tomorrow, we'll have Brent back because the Flames play their final road game tonight. They're going to be on the road to take on the Vancouver Canucks. Have some stuff to play for.
Yeah, they do. A point will give them the Pacific Division title for the first time since 2011, so... We can lose in overtime, and Edmonton can settle into the 2-seed again.
And they can still battle for the first seed in the West as well.
Yes,
still has not been locked up by the Dallas Stars, and that's another thing that you kind of want to look at here. As you
home ice matters throughout.
I think it is. Yep. I think it definitely does, especially if you're one of those Canadian cities. I think you'd like to host home ice, especially when you get into the deeper series and you expect them to go a little bit longer and be really hard fought.
But again, Dallas is just a point away from locking that up as well.
Yeah, there's going to be something that need to happen, but that's something that will be on the line for the Canucks as they take on the Flames. That one going to be out in Vancouver.
And Thatcher Demko back.
And yes, he's set to get a little bit of action here before the playoffs start for the Vancouver Canucks. We got plenty to get to on today's program today. The Morning Report coming up in mere moments, prepared by you lads.
Yeah.
Excellent.
It's going to be a good time.
Looking forward to that. After 7 o'clock, Jordan Siglett did an interview with Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson yesterday. He is the Flames' director of goaltending. Some really interesting stuff in there on Dustin Wolf. Jacob Markstrom's talked about Dustin a little bit lately, too. Kind of want to get into some of that audio and get your thoughts on not necessarily what we want to see from Dustin over the next week, because I think that that's pretty simplistic. Go out there, do your best, see if you get any starts. By the way, happy 23rd birthday to Dustin Wolf today.
Oh, Gilroy's own.
Happy birthday. But we'll get to that a little bit more after 7 o'clock. We'll also get into it with Luke Gazdick. We always love when Luke stops by the show. Get set for the playoffs. What is this kind of final week like? Whether you're going to the postseason, whether you're not. We'll get into all those kind of storylines with Luke. Ben Schulman's going to join us. The Jays and the Yankees series will continue tonight after a victory in the opener yesterday. A really nice outing from Chris Bassitt at home once again as he continues to have two back-to-back good starts. And already the splits home and road are just about as jarring as they were last year for Chris Bassitt, but He talks about it before, and he talked about it, I think, after the game yesterday as well.
It's funny that usually, at least through the how many games they've played through this year, like, what is it, 18, 19 games or whatever it is, if the starter's going to give him a good outing, the bullpen usually follows it up with, I'm going to continue giving you that good starting. But if the starter is going to have a crappy outing, like, well, let's go back to Friday against the Rockies, Gausman gets lit up, and then it's like, okay, well, Paulo Espino, it was like, I believe it was only maybe 4-1, 4-2, 5-2 or something when Espino entered the game, and he got absolutely wrecked. And then by then, it's like that part of the bullpen was just like, they just, it was over. But
yeah,
if there's a quality start, maybe not even a quality start, if they can go 5-6 innings, limit the damage, that bullpen has been solid. And it's going to get better with Romano and Swanson seemingly coming back within a week's time now.
Well, listening to the broadcast yesterday, sounds like could
San Diego.
Be today.
Could be today. Yeah. They do play an afternoon game tomorrow, then ship off to San Diego for Friday.
Sounds like Yariel Rodriguez is going to enter the rotation on Friday as well.
That'll be big.
The new Cuban pitcher. So
he was good Saturday.
Really interesting for the Jays here. Alec Manoah is going to have another rehab start on Friday,
he
too.
Needs it. he's been bad in both of his outings in minor league baseball this year.
Yeah. It's one of those things, right? What are we watching for here? So we'll get into the Jays and the Yankees. That'll be around 8 o'clock as well. And at 8:30, we're going to be giving away some tickets to the Roughnecks' final home game.
Ooh.
As we got three sets of tickets to give away for the rest of the week. The Roughnecks do have their final game of the season, as unfortunately have been eliminated from postseason contention. But yeah, they will be taking on Panther City on Saturday, and we're going to be giving away tickets to that all week long. So we're looking forward to really what we got for the whole week ahead of you. What did you, you were out east, you were out in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Your trip was exceedingly more sportsy than mine. So you went Jays Friday.
Yeah, Jays
for
Friday.
For the rough one.
Yeah.
The rough Kevin Gausman start.
Yeah, two games I've been out there, and both times they've just gotten absolutely creamed.
Really?
Yeah.
But did you like the
new
changes?
Digs,
did it look different?
Like,
careful.
10 years ago, it looks like a cement, you know, it has that concrete, cement. It looks like a mall, a very quiet-looking mall. That's what it looked like about 10 years ago. The light shows, what they've done, the seating. You've got more leg room in front of you. The concourse is amazing. They have tons of games for kids. It does feel like a true ballpark. And then once it's the summertime's there, once they can open that roof, it's only going to get better.
It was closed for you, though?
Yeah, it was closed. Yeah. It was Friday. It was kind of rainy and chilly. But then Saturday, went to the Hall of Fame. And then went out to Hamilton to watch Cavalry play their season opening game.
Another tough L.
Yeah, they got the opening goal, but then, you know, Forge are a good team, and they just kind of turned it on from there. But it was sunny, and it was super windy, though, so you couldn't really enjoy the sun. And then Sunday, head home, was in the airport for 7 hours as I got bumped twice from flights. So, yeah, not the greatest time coming home, but it was a fun time going to watch the Jays and Cavalry FC.
There you go. Yeah. Love it. Yeah.
How was your time, man?
It was good. Yeah. We were down there in beautiful Las Vegas. There was the big UFC fight, which definitely had a little bit of
made the city
energy.
A little bit more energetic.
Yeah. It wasn't like last time I was there was the March Madness final.
Mm.
That was much more crazy than how I felt for UFC. We were also a little further than from T-Mobile this time.
Yeah, it's down in Paradise.
Yeah, so I didn't really get down there very much. We weren't really around the area.
Yeah.
We didn't have any plans to go see the fight or anything like that. And I threw a bet on someone who got absolutely slept in the fifth round.
The BMF title.
Gaethje.
Yeah,
what's his name?
Gaethje.
Yeah, Gaethje. Look at me. Nailed it.
It looks like Gaethje,
Yeah, I don't know. Kinda like that's what my buddy. That's
You're
my,
going off Gaethje.
Well, I was going off a buddy who knew what he was talking about more than me, or apparently told me he did, and that's what he said. And I don't know. I wasn't going to do research for it. God forbid. I didn't have time to do research down there. Constantly
fight,
on a
man.
Heater.
That entire event was awesome.
Yeah,
one of the best UFC cards of all time.
Really?
One of them. Yeah.
Did you sit through
From
the
top
whole thing?
To bottom? Yeah.
I was this Bo Nickel guy. Everybody was talking this Bo Nickel guy up.
I mean, he's been like kind of fast tracked, trying to get pushed into the main event kind of scene. You know, he comes from an amateur wrestling background. He's he's adapted to the striking game pretty well over his first couple fights, but this event was like the first time he's really been tested, really kind of been put through hot water. The betting odds for that fight were the same whether or not he'd finish the fight in the first minute or in the second round.
Wow.
And he ended up getting the finish in the second round or so So, yeah.
So that had some energy to it. There was a little bit
McGregor's
of...
McGregor's fight was officially announced.
Building. 303. That was announced, yeah, too. Yeah. So that had a little bit of hype around it. And then, yeah, of course, it was Masters weekend. So it was awesome being able to, you know, do your kind of wander throughout the casinos. And every single table had the Masters on it. Like, there was nothing else during the day. So I felt like I was following along. But it was really interesting to have none of the audio for it for almost the entire weekend. And then I get here to Monday... And it's like, oh, everyone was talking about Rory leaving all weekend. Like, it was one of those things, like, Greg Norman was following him around the course. And I was like, I didn't notice a single thing. No. All I saw was Scottie Scheffler just...
Every time I looked
down... Never making a mistake.
Yeah. Every time I saw Rory, it was usually him being frustrated or sad looking because he had a bad time as well. And a lot of
Shocker.
Guys...
Shocker. Like, oh, stunning.
Yeah, Rom had a bad time, but he's already got a jacket.
The
LIV guys did get... This is what happens when you don't play golf all the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially you look at... It's not even the fact that... Like, you want to talk about playing three rounds. Sure, yeah. By all means. That's definitely a factor.
But their events are still spaced out.
That was my exact point. They had been to Jeddah, and then they had like 2 or 3 weeks off of that, like, and then they went to Miami.
It's an F1 schedule. You play every 3 weeks in different countries.
Yep. They'll go through different spurts while they'll play like three over the course of a month, but it's really spread out, and it doesn't feel as consistent and as
like,
intense.
How much of a golfing athlete are you if you can just tee it up, you know, once every 3 weeks? I get it. You make a ton of money. They're making $600 million doing this, but it's like, how about you really challenging yourself against these guys?
Yeah. So,
and then they got, like you said, exposed at one of the toughest courses around, and it was beautiful. Thursday was like, nice. Friday always, was
well. Bryson's out there early.
Oh man, Bryson. The second day was just absolute chaos for that guy.
Yep.
So I don't know how he managed with one of those gallery directors, one of those poles. You see that? He ended up like uprooting the thing,
taking it right out of the way.
Yeah. Like, what am I gonna do with this thing? My balls in the way. Like, come on, man.
That was one of the things that I saw in the casino, and I went, I wish I had audio for this. What is happening right now?
Yeah, they cut down a tree. They didn't cut down a tree for Franklin Roosevelt. They aren't gonna move that thing, so he's just gonna move it for him.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
No trees came out this year though. That was good to see.
Yeah. Thankfully.
Scotty gets another jacket. So.
Yeah, I don't know. Like Sunday, I think when I was kind of seeing, he's like, it was so close there from like up until like the ninth hole, and then you got to the second nine. You know, like, Morikawa falls off.
Homa made a birdie on 11, did he not, to get to like 7 under?
He was the closest one in, but Scheffler, I think, was 9 under at that point.
Yeah, he was 9 or 8 or something like that, but, you know, Homa really wasn't the same after that 11th hole.
Just
blew it down the stretch, which was disappointing.
The only thing that would have really made that close was if Scotty's child started to make an early appearance. Apart from that, it was going to be him the entire way, and he just never felt like I don't really ever have faith that Morikawa is going to be able to close something out. I don't
not
really
at Augusta, I mean, he's got two majors.
I know, but when was the last one? Feels like it was years ago.
It was the Open, was it not, or was it the PGA?
And then Homa, who also hasn't really been able to close out a whole lot recently, so.
It was the 2021 Open.
Yeah,
a couple years ago. So the Masters was a lot of fun. Missed talking about it yesterday, obviously. So, see you next year. The RBC's coming up, and we'll see if Rory does in fact get announced to go to LIV Golf, because there is a pretty prominent paper out in London that is reporting he's going to probably leave for $850 million. That was one of the big stories around the Masters amongst media members whispering to each other as Greg Norman followed Rory around after buying a ticket, followed them around the entire weekend, which was kind of a strange,
kind of weird
pairing to follow around with all of these rumors starting to swirl. But it was a lot of fun to watch, and congrats to Scotty for another green jacket. Let's get to some of the NHL stuff here, guys. There's a lot that we still have to have decided before the end of the season. Yesterday, some incredible action. I don't know if you guys saw the end of that game at Little Caesars Arena, but boy, that barn has been a lot of fun to watch over the last couple of weeks. It's funny listening to the announcers every time they're at home being like, the most important game ever played at Little Caesars Arena until the next one. Yep. And every time the hype is just continuing to build. And I don't know about you guys, but right now there is one more playoff spot up for grabs in the Eastern Conference. The Detroit Red Wings with a big overtime victory, beating the Habs yesterday. Lucas Raymond was outstanding, helped them tie up the Washington Capitals. I don't know what we're going to see tonight. There are two massive games on the slate. The Penguins will play Wednesday. That game may or may not mean something by then. Tonight, you got Washington playing Philadelphia,
mm-hmm.
and you've got the Detroit Red Wings taking on the Montreal Canadiens in Montreal. Two absolutely massive games. I've got some of the stipulations here. We can go through them. If the Capitals win in any fashion, they get in. Does not matter what else happens tonight. They control the first tiebreaker against everybody. So if the Capitals win in any fashion, they get in. If the Flyers, who play the Capitals, win in regulation, and the Red Wings lose in regulation, and the Penguins lose in regulation on Wednesday, that's how the Flyers mm-hmm. will get in. It's the least likely, and I believe you have to go to the fifth or the sixth tiebreaker for Philly to beat Washington, which is actually the season series, which is even going into tonight mm-hmm. with one win apiece.
Rubber match.
Exactly. So that's how the Flyers can happen to get in. The Red Wings have multiple ways. The easiest for them is if they win and the Capitals lose in any fashion, the Detroit Red Wings get into the postseason and they break a very long skid. What are we, about
eight
years now?
Mm-hmm.
The Red Wings can also get in with an extra time loss if the Capitals lose in regulation and the Penguins lose in any fashion the following day. And like I said, the Penguins will play on Wednesday. They'll know whatever they need by then, and they could also be eliminated if Washington or Detroit win their games tonight. So, a lot to be decided. Yesterday, I'm maybe caught up in the hype, but I'm really believing in Detroit. The Islanders clinched yesterday. How are you looking at this race in the East?
I just wonder about the Philadelphia Flyers, and if, like, I mean, yes, they have won two straight after really not playing all that well, but having it at home helps tonight for them, that Washington's got to go up to Philadelphia, that it's tough to think Philadelphia's going to get in just because of how they've played over the last few weeks. They had it in the bag. They were the third seed in the Metro with like 5, 6, 7-point gaps at times, and it's just been an utter collapse from them.
Losing to really bad teams by multiple goals.
I've got no faith in them. I mean, Pittsburgh, yeah, if they had one extra game, it sucks that they're stuck on 88 because, you know, a win would only get them to 90, and if Washington, Detroit, they go to 91, it does them no good.
They don't really control their own fate at all.
They do not. And then it really just comes down to Washington, who might be the best team out of all these guys over the last, you know, handful of months. They've been above over 500 since the turn of the new year. I just don't want to see that minus 38 goal differential. That would set the NHL record for the worst goal differential ever to make the postseason at minus 38. I'm going to be cheering for Detroit. I'm going to hope for them. That's going to be a tough building tonight, Bell Center. I know it's back-to-back. I know that was a pretty embarrassing way for the Habs to lose. Also, how much can the Habs, I think the Habs would take losing, get just better those all lottery. I don't know how much the lottery can move down anymore, but it's tough to bet against Detroit with what they've done with Lucas Raymond, when he's done last night. I'm on the Wings, Maddie. I'm on the Wings to hopefully get into and end that playoff drought.
That's exactly how I'm feeling. Like, Patrick Kane looked like he was having a ton of fun out there. Mm-hmm. You can see that the bench is like fully embracing this run. And
that game Pittsburgh dropped against the Leafs was so tough, where they were able to get the point, but if they just got to that extra point, then it's like 89, 89, 89. And then maybe it's a little bit better. But that, I'm going back to that game where they just could not get the extra point against Toronto, and that might be their undoing.
That's the only spot that's up for grabs, but four teams can go out and grab it over the next 48 hours.
Which is pretty neat. Like, it's kind of, it would be cool if everybody played on the final day, not kind of spaced, but then Pittsburgh's got to wait for tomorrow, which the Islanders probably couldn't really rest a good chunk of those guys. They can't move out of the 3 seed. They don't gain anything by moving up here, by winning. So,
knowing what happened last year with Florida and Boston in the first round, do you think any of those teams have a strong chance against the New York Rangers? And GVP, you can answer the same question.
I don't think so. I just don't see it, especially if it's Washington. The way they play defensively is just way too fast and loose. I just don't see it. The Rangers have been such a strong team all year.
Igor's been playing well lately. Panarin.
If anybody could do that, it could be Detroit, because I trust their goaltending between Reimer and Lyon. I do like those two.
You'd give the Wings a puncher's chance. I don't think you really give Washington or Pittsburgh finds a way to squeak in there. But
Sidney Crosby would have to go fully beast mode, which he has definitely been doing for the entire year.
I mean, that team was left for dead at the deadline when they traded Jake Guentzel. You know, they're like 7-3 or something in their last 10, and yeah, they've been playing some really good hockey as of late. That big overtime win the other day was huge for them as well.
Nice old double bird to the front office for getting into the playoffs after they traded away Gensel, especially if they end up having to play Carolina at some point. That would have been fun. Here's some other things that we do know about the postseason. The Hurricanes are going to host the Islanders. That's definitely going to be a series that we're going to get. Tampa's going to head to Florida or Boston in round one, whoever wins the Atlantic.
Boston with a tough one. Like, they had a chance to clinch that division last night against Washington. Now that Florida wins tonight and Boston loses, Florida's all of a sudden the Atlantic champs.
Yeah, and Maurice was saying that they're going to suit up their lineup as if they're trying to win the division too.
Oh yeah, and there's going to be a ton of Leaf fans in Florida tonight, because I know there was a ton of, and Friedman talked about that on the 32 Thoughts. He's down in Fort Lauderdale actually too. But there was a ton of people on that plane that were all going to the Leafs and Panthers, expecting Matthews to be in the lineup.
Yeah.
But again, Sheldon Keefe's been kind of ticked off by that, because he does feel like this team only cares about getting to Matthews' 70 point, and he does feel like it's a big distraction for them right now.
Hey, Connor McDavid talked about it in his interview with Gene Principe in the second intermission there of the Oilers.
Just, after the 100 every game.
Oh, my goodness. What a just a terrible.
I thought I was going to get score more.
What a terrible showing for San Jose. But that's okay. Poor goalie out there.
Poor guys.
Oh, man. They were just like 2-on-1 backdoor tap-ins all night.
Those guys want to go.
Unbelievable.
Cabo, wherever.
Yeah. Away from this teal. That's all I got to get away from. But with McDavid hitting that, he mentioned it during the interview. He said, you know, it's kind of been like one of those things where you're like, you know, always trying to get this assist. I've been trying to get this last assist for a little while. And obviously he'd been missing three games with an injury, but it was something that had been on his mind and his teammates were thinking about. So when he was passing to them, I'm sure they were looking to score more so than they were to give it back or you know, lose that assist. And there was multiple instances in yesterday's game where that wasn't necessarily the case. He would have had like the third assist on a couple of those goals they ended up scoring before, what was it, the ninth one?
Yeah,
where
open he the finally, scoring and then finally got the assist on the last
score. Where he finally got the 100th assist, and that was the one where it's good, but I was almost surprised a little bit about how forthright he was with Gene about how this had been something that had been bothering them. So if that's what Keith is saying,
like Keith's been ticked at how this team, because like, yeah, that was a fun little comeback they had on Saturday. They still lost to the Red Wings despite Matthews getting to 69. It has been a little bit of a distraction there, because they're losing games despite Matthews getting to this point. Leafs, I don't trust them as far as I can throw them, man.
It's one thing there to have kind of the race that he is currently in. But one of the other things with Matthews and trying to chase all this down, like he's trying to get to 70, but this is a team that has been in this third spot in the Atlantic for a very long time. Like, and there haven't really been any chances for them to move up and down. No. They've constantly been 7 or 8 points behind Boston or Florida. Yep. Tampa has not really ever gotten close to them.
I think, exactly.
Yeah. It's the most they ever really got within. Like, they have been essentially locked in this third seed for what, since the trade deadline?
Probably, yeah.
Like something like that. Yep. So you get there and you try and manufacture things that are going to get you more invested and get you more bought into these games. But at a certain point, just the numbers really start to matter. And that's what the fans want to see too. So, you know, there's one part of this too, where if you're going to travel and you're going to spend all your money to go down to Florida to see him score 70 and he doesn't play, well, I don't have a real lot of... I don't feel sorry for you. It's the same people who were complaining about going to Niagara and being sad that it was cloudy for the eclipse.
Back. Yeah,
and asking for their money back. It's always cloudy there then. You can't... What? These are certain things that you have to understand what you're getting yourself into. And there's a large chance he doesn't end up playing in this game, especially because it's Florida.
Yeah, exactly.
And like they said, Paul Maurice said, we're going to try and win the division. You're going to get Florida Panthers hockey in this
game. You're going to get what round two was tonight. Florida's got a lot to play for tonight.
You can get a full deal of Ryan Lomberg, the Lamborghini, maybe a little Gadjevich.
Like, I totally get
Sam Bennett.
Keith's little conundrum here is like, well, Marner's just coming back off of a long-term injury.
Yeah.
70 seems nice, but I need these guys to have any sort of hope in that first round.
And it's also the last game, so if he gets to 70, you're like,
well,
okay,
no, they're in Tampa tomorrow, so they got a back-to-back. So if he gets 70, I doubt anybody plays tomorrow.
Anyways, we will see with heading out of the Leafs will either head to Florida or to Boston. Whoever finishes second in the Atlantic is going to get the Maple Leafs. I will say for Toronto, going on the road, don't hate that for them, because I find that things are there's a nervous energy in that arena when they play at home.
And all they do, they just need a split coming home.
I do wonder if getting past the first round last year kind of changes any of that when we kind of see what the atmosphere is like this season. But
this is maybe a question for Luke we can ask him. Is like, because in Edmonton, they're a team that has that expectations of it's cup or bust. We think they need to at least get to the Western Conference Final to deem this season a success. In Toronto, even with them sitting at 102 points, great season from this team, it's just like, it's okay if you lose in the first round, Toronto. It's okay this year. And it might be the first time in a long time. I don't know if I'm getting that vibe, but we've heard it through the time. Like, maybe it's just not this year for them. And whatever happens, is they're okay with it? I kind of get that vibe with maybe the smarter Leaf fans, not the delusional ones. They kind of get like, hey, we're here, whatever happens. Because it's just, it doesn't feel like it's going to happen this year for them.
I almost felt like that was kind of the messaging going into the deadline around the team.
Because they didn't go out and get the big fish.
Yeah, didn't want to move any of the prospects, wanted to hold on to their first as best they could.
I think like if they...
What does that signal to the fan base when even management is like...
Despite these core four having great years, I'm Austin Matthews hitting 70.
We're still not good enough for Matthews. Yeah. Well, the goaltending continues to be a rotating door. The injuries this year.
Like, your defense core is just shambles. Like, yeah, there's nice little pieces, like little, you know, like good, like little pieces on a really good team.
Mm-hmm.
But then you can't ask Morgan Riley to be the number one defenseman, I think, in a long playoff run.
That's the other thing. A long playoff run.
Yeah.
How many rounds can he get through? That type of thing. So. Fascinated to see what happens with the Leafs, because if I do think that it's not going to be okay if they lose in the first round, because I think that the fans will get back to, oh, same old thing.
Well, I think
we did Keith
might be on the chopping block potentially if it's a bad round.
New
one.
General manager, right? Yeah. So that's what we got in the East. In the West, honestly, not a lot is set.
Jets can lock in the 2 seed with at least a point.
The Jets and Avalanche are going to play in round 1. The question is where. We also know San Jose is going to have the best lottery odds, followed by the Blackhawks, Ducks, and the Blue Jackets. Buffalo's locked into the 11th best odds somehow. The season is done for both the Devils and the Sabres. So what still needs to be decided? You got to get the winner of the Atlantic, second Eastern wild card, who wins the Western Conference, all of the seeding in the Pacific Division.
And Vegas can still be the 3 seed in
exactly.
the Pacific as well.
Can Vegas jump over the third seed in the Pacific, or can they jump over Nashville, who has finished their season? They're at 99 points. So Vegas could get even higher. I think they need 3 points over their last 2 games to kind of jump up there. We also need to find out where the Flames are going to finish in the standings. They could drop to 8th best odds. They're currently at 9th best.
They'll be cheering for Seattle tonight.
Yeah, if they get 3 points over their next 4 games, then they'll get the 10th best odds. So lots still to follow.
Right now it's 9 still.
Yeah, they're just sitting in 9 right now. They've got 2 more games left to play. The Flames going to Vancouver tonight. They'll play the Canucks. It's going to be an 8 o'clock start. Your Flames pregame is going to go at 7 o'clock. Flames talk with Steinberg at 4. We also got Real Kipper and Bourne, Sportsnet today, and Blair and Barker, and Jeff Merrick. Replays, see ya. You're done.
Get out of here.
Looking forward to the morning report. Looking forward to Luke Gazdick. Looking forward to Ben Schulman. Looking forward to getting some Roughnecks tickets out to our listeners as well. Happy to be back. Happy to be back doing a little bit of work here.
Run to the summer's on.
What do you got in the morning report coming
up? Well, Jays get their series off against the Yankees on a good note. We'll wrap up with the 8 games in the NHL last night. Get you teed up for the Flames and Canucks. And Caitlin Clark, of course, goes number 1 in the WNBA draft.
Shocker. Stunner. Wow. Okay. All that coming up next. Big shows live. We got the B Crew. Sports at 960 The Fan.
You're listening to The Big Show with George Russick and Matty Rose on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Welcome back to this show. Segment number 2, hour number 1. This is The Big Show for Mortgages to Go. Always the lowest interest rates in Canada since 2004. Visit mortgagestogo.ca live from the Doug Lacey Basement Systems downtown studio. Cracked foundation, Bowen Foundation walls. We have a simple, permanent solution to stabilize your foundation. Contact Basement Systems, all things basement-y. Visit dlbasementsystems.com. Coming up on the program, we're going to touch on an interview that we had on the station yesterday during Flames Talk. Jordan Siglett chatting with Patty Steinberg about the netminders within the Flames organization. Signed a new one yesterday. I'm going to let you pronounce his name first.
Yes.
Once we get into the morning report, Patrick, it's time for the morning report. If you own a BMW, choose Motorworks for service and repairs. They'll gladly match and then beat any competitor's price by 10%. You're on 51st Avenue and 3rd Street Southeast. They bring us the morning report with Patty Dumas.
Marty Rose.
Matt Rose.
Matt Rose.
Adam Rose.
Rose and Blue.
Matty Rose.
No, this is Patrick.
Calgary Flames, game day, game 81 of 82. Their last game on the road for this year as well, taking on the Vancouver Canucks. It'll be a late one. One puck drop a little after 8 o'clock. This means Flames talk pregame. Why is my... Madame thing.
You having an audio issue over there?
We're
having a speaking issue.
Can't hear the beds.
Oh.
The connection is broken.
They're playing.
They're playing.
I can hear you.
I think my headphone connection is broken. I'll hold it. Anyways, here we go. That means Flames Talk pregame goes at 7 o'clock. Puck drop a little bit after 8 o'clock. Expect Thatcher Demko to make his first start in 14 games with Vancouver for Vancouver. Canucks went 7-5-2 with Casey DeSmith between the pipes. So they got a chance to get their first shot at their first division title since 2011 with a win. Some news and notes from Team Picture Day for the Calgary Flames on Monday. Blake Coleman is going to miss Tuesday's game. Tonight's game dealing with an upper body injury. Coleman just one goal back of 30. Here's head coach Ryan Huska on if we'll see Blake on Thursday.
Not for tomorrow, but we've got our fingers crossed for the final one.
So fingers crossed that Coleman will get in the lineup on Thursday, so he has a chance at 30 against San Jose. So the club also called up Adam Klapka, so that'll do it for their recalls for this year.
Unless there's something that has to come up on an emergency reason, but it's probably unlikely. If there's any injuries or anything like that, Adam Klapka's last game in the NHL did not go overly well. He's a big body who's going to probably play some fourth line minutes. Obviously, some learning curves when he was out there in his first NHL game, but looking forward to seeing what he can do because he's been one of the more consistent Wranglers.
He's earned it the most, right? A team that doesn't necessarily have their top guys with the Wranglers right now. And yeah, maybe when he's come up to the NHL, it hasn't been the greatest, but Huska and the entire management kind of want to, you know,
give
you stuff on merit. So
yeah,
I think that's him.
And it's about not getting too excited in here in your second start, you know, feeling maybe a little bit more comfortable with the speed. He's going to be obviously a big targeted guy just because he is one of the bigger guys out there. But I want to say it was about 3 or 4 minutes of ice time he got in his last kind of spin around the ice. We'll see what he gets out there. We'll see if he does get out there. Obviously with the Blake Coleman injury, but something to monitor. Another thing to keep an eye out on these last two games.
Now, I was flying on Sunday. Was it Markstrom that got the start on Sunday?
Dustin Wolf who got the start on Sunday.
So we think Markstrom maybe tonight. They've been alternating the starts here
Wolf's
of late.
But it's Wolf's 23rd birthday.
Ooh, that's true.
Yeah, but you probably let the starter do whatever he wants. That's Jacob Markstrom. Which one do you want? Do you want to play on the road against Vancouver or do you want to play at home against San Jose in the last game of the season? Pick your poison. You can do either one.
Maybe they reverse that. I'd go Wolf, give Markstrom maybe just one more chance, just in case it is his final hurrah here in Calgary.
Especially at home?
Yeah. Exactly. The club also announced the signing of a free agent goaltender, Valtteri Ignatiu, to a one-year, two-way deal. The 24-year-old out of Helsinki, Finland, spent this past year with Mora of the Swedish second division, had a 2.34 goals against, .918 save percentage, and a 26-18-0 record. He was named the Allsvenskan's goalie of the year. Has played pro since 2018, so some nice depth and a chance to fight for the net with the Wranglers next season with the guy.
Yeah, certainly will be. Obviously, there's a lot of questions about what's going to happen with this Flames kind of goaltending pipeline. Ignatiu does feel like a guy who's going to have a shot at some AHL playing time with Dustin Wolf probably going to be a regular time NHLer next year. The only question is who's that other goalie going to be? Dan Vladar is back up and walking around and trying to get some range of motion back in his hips now that he's had the surgery out in New York there last month. So something to keep an eye on.
8 games on Monday. We'll get a look at the NHL picture. We kind of set the playoff picture in the last segment, but we'll talk about the teams that did win yesterday. And we're going to start on Newark with the Islanders and the Devils. New York was looking to sew up the third and final spot in the Metro. We'll pick this one up in the second period, latter stages of the second. Isles up 2-1, looking for the kill shot.
goes out to Riley, center point, shoots, missed it just wide left through a big screen. Nelson, the rebound, scores! Whoa, Nelly! Brock hammers it home from the slot, and he makes it 3-1 Islanders!
Yeah, that's Nelson's 33rd. That would be your game winner. 4-1 the final. Islanders back into the postseason, and they will be the 3 seed in the Metropolitan Division.
Yeah.
Playing the Carolina Hurricanes.
They will go to Carolina in round number 1. Two teams that are not necessarily known for their offense.
Mm-mm.
Take the under every game if you're so inclined. But I don't know. I'm excited. I'm fascinated to see what the Carolina Hurricanes do in the postseason, especially with a healthy Svechnikov and Jake Guentzel. Like, how many more goals a series is that just between the two of them?
Yeah,
four?
It'd be huge.
Five?
It's what killed Carolina last year, not having those
scores. And they couldn't score on their power play, and both those guys help your power play a lot.
Oh, huge. We'll go to Pittsburgh. Four teams for one spot. That would be the second wild card in the East. The one team that isn't tied for that final spot is coming in at 86 points with two games to go, and that's the Penguins. Dropped a tough one to Boston on the weekend in regulation, knowing they'll probably need to win out and hope for some help. While Nashville could have locked themselves in the first wildcard spot in the West if they got a point, Philip Forsberg cut the Pens' lead to just one late in the second, but early in the third, Penguins with maybe their biggest goal of the season.
Blows on, can't clear. Holding line was Pettersson to Carlson. Beat over, one-timer score! Emil Bemström!
Yeah, Bemström's blast is 8th. That condition already hit for the Jackets as that 26th sixth rounder acquired in the Nylander-Bemström trade is now a 3rd. So good for Columbus getting a 3rd in 2026 out of that.
Who would have thought Bemström would have done it? Hey, of course he does it late in the season. Second last game. If you're Columbus, I guess you had something to watch.
Yeah, so that's your game winner. Penguins.
Because they're locked in their lottery spot too. So
yeah. Penguins up to 88 points, and for the first time, well, they were temporarily in the second wild card. That was because it only lasted temporarily. Because just a few minutes later, the Red Wings erased a 4-1 lead thanks to this little Swedish dynamo.
Red Wings dangerous. Down low it comes. Left circle. Raymond in front. Scores! Woo-hoo! Lucas Raymond ties it up. 117-0 in regulation with a goaltender pulled, and it's 4-4.
Yeah, great pressure from the Wings leads to Raymond sniping that by Montembeau on the doorstep, and we were off to overtime. That point was valuable, but they needed two more from Raymond in overtime.
Over the blue line to Dylan Larkin. Now to Raymond. He shoots. He scores! Oh, my goodness! Lucas Raymond wins the game for Detroit in overtime! Final score, Red Wings 5, Montreal 4, and Lucas Raymond has done it again.
Yeah, he wins it in overtime. Massive win for the Wings. Puts them in at 89 points. Currently tied for that second wild card spot, but on the outside looking in because, based on a couple tiebreakers, the Capitals have all of those tiebreakers over everyone behind them in the standings, and they were able to shut out the Bruins 2-0. Boston had a chance to clinch the Atlantic, so they're going to have to wait until tonight to do that. On Broadway, the Rangers were hosting the Senators. New York with a win would clinch the President's Trophy for the third time in their history and for the first time since 2015. I'll pick this one up early on in the third period. Rangers looking to put it to bed.
Marcello has made some great saves on Panarin in this game. Lindgren, a deflection, score!
For Panarin. That does it for the Rangers' season. They win 4-0. They clinch the President's Trophy for the third time, and they'll try to become the 9th team ever to win the Stanley Cup and the President's Trophy in the very same year.
Yeah, it hasn't happened for a long time. Now, they're going to get a team who's going to be feeling real good about themselves in round number 1.
Yeah.
Now, how long can momentum last? The Rangers obviously feeling pretty good. They've won 2 in a row, and they're 7-3 in their last 10. Panarin's been on a heater lately. Igor Shesterkin's playing really good down the stretch.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you're New York, you feel pretty confident about yourself. But especially if it's Detroit, man, if they get in, look out. Good energy, good vibes.
If they're able to stake that one in MSG, everything gets changed in any series.
And Derek Lalonde hasn't done it as a head coach, but that's a guy who's been alongside John Cooper for a few long runs and probably knows how to manage that.
Exactly. Might have caught this one on Sportsnet West. Oilers with a win would keep their hopes of a Pacific Division title alive, but a loss to any fashion to San Jose would hand Vancouver their first division title since 2011. Oilers getting a boost as Connor McDavid returns to the lineup, trying to chase down 100 assists. Well, he got the scoring started early, getting his 32nd just 53 seconds into the game, and what would be a 4-0 first period by Edmonton. The onslaught on those poor Sharkies would continue into the second, as it would be 8-1, and then the Oilers get their 9th. History for Connor.
Nurse into his own zone, turns it up the left side. Now to McDavid, in over the line. McDavid looking to the net, waiting the pass. Scores! Hyman with the goal. McDavid with the assist. That's 100 on the season for Connor McDavid.
Yeah, just the 4th player in NHL history to have 100 assists, joining Wayne, who did it 11 times. Mario and Bobby Orr. In the 100 assist club. Oilers win 9-2, pull within 3 points of Vancouver with 2 to go. All Vancouver, though, needs is a point tonight over their final 2 games, and they will clinch the Pacific Division title.
Yeah, this was a gross game in Edmonton yesterday.
San Jose.
The Jays ended, and I was like, okay, I'm writing some stuff. Maybe I'll flip it on. And just that horn.
Yeah, I turned it on. It was 9-1.
That horn in Edmonton just kept on going off. Every time I looked up, it was a 2-on-1. Poor Devin Cooley, who already is having existential crises. I don't know if you saw his quote last week, but.
Yeah, I was just like, we're all going to be dead soon.
We all eventually die. Like, okay, nothing matters. We all die eventually. Okay, all right. Hell yeah, dude.
Life
all my
San
friends
Jose.
Are dead. Right on. But, yeah, and then some other poor goaltender had to come in and do mop-up duty. Just put a bullet in them. End that season. My God.
Let's go down to Los Angeles. A win by the Kings would go a long way in helping them lock themselves into the 3rd seed in the Pacific. They welcome the Wild to Crypto. Kings did themselves no favors if they wanted to assure themselves that 3rd spot. They lose 3-1 now, just 1 point up on Vegas with 1 less game to play. Either way, might be a waste of those 8 days. For the Kings. Also, one more game, Buffalo and Tampa Bay. Nikita Kucherov looking to become the 5th player to join the Century Assist Club. Well, he got 1 assist in their 4-2 loss to Buffalo. They have 1 game left on Wednesday against the Leafs. We'll see if Kuch plays, but yeah, maybe they will to get him to 100 assists, become the 5th player.
Then we can answer
the
heavily debated question. What is more impressive, 100 assists and 32 goals or 100 assists and 43 goals? Which one is more impressive? I don't know. You tell me.
Who's got the majority of that, like the primary points or like more even strength points? I think he's got to break it down at that point.
No, he's got 40. He's got 11 more goals than McDavid. What are we talking about?
But how many are those on power play goals? I'm saying
He's got twice as many power play goals. He's got 1 more game winner. Like,
it's going to be cutting. This might be one of the closest Hart Trophy rates. Somebody's going to be pissed off. Somebody's going to get. And I'm glad we get to see who voted for everyone. We all want transparency.
Only 107.
I'd be curious to see how the players vote on the Lindsay.
That's
what I think will be really interesting.
Because if you go back to 2001, 2002, when Theodore won the Hart, who won the player MVP? Iggy.
As he should have.
Sometimes it matters a little bit more what the players think in close races like this. So, yeah, I totally agree with that.
We all know what happened there, don't we?
Exactly. Stay up.
Biased media.
Stay up, Quebec. 8 games tonight. 5 to go at 5 o'clock. 1 of them on Sportsnet. Massive one in Philly with the Capitals. All they need is a win, and they're in. Do or die at the Bell Center. It might not have the same stakes as the 1955 Stanley Cup Final, but for the Red Wings, it's their last chance to end an 8-year-long drought. They need a win and a Capitals loss in either overtime or in regulation. First-round preview, perhaps, in Sunrise, but with Boston's loss on Monday, Florida does have a chance to win the Atlantic, and with a Bruins regulation or overtime loss. Austin Matthews also looking to get to 70 goals on the season. Should be a ton of Leaf fans. We'll see if he even plays. Hurricanes into Columbus. The Sens are in Beantown. Like I said, Bruins needing a win or a Panthers regulation loss to clinch the Atlantic Division. At 6, the Jets can lock up home ice in the first round with a win or a point over Seattle, and the Hawks and Knights go at 8 o'clock.
Look at Sportsnet adjusting the grid. Sportsnet West, 5 o'clock, Capitals and Flyers. Ooh, grab your popcorn. That'll be a good one.
That's going to be a beautiful one in Philadelphia.
And then if you got Sportsnet Plus, then you can do a little bit of two-screen experience. Hell little Red Wings Habs on the other one. Oh. 5 o'clock.
Let's go to baseball.
Yeah, I think it was a little bit of a wardrobe malfunction with the Velcro.
Yeah, Jackie Robinson Day around Major League Baseball. That was after the game. So I don't even know what he was talking about.
It was about Bassett with the pitch com. He walked out. He didn't have the receiver on him. And then,
Bassett, I don't know if you saw that, but he was
a nutcase. He was like,
I don't know, Kirky called for a pitch, and he was like, yo, I like that. I like that a lot. And then when Juan Soto almost took him deep in the first, he was just smiling at him. He's like, oh.
I think John Schneider said in the post game that he'll shake off his own pitches.
Yeah.
Like when he's doing pitch com, he'll shake off his own stuff. He's like, no, if that's just playing a game with the other batters or what that is, but
he's a psycho.
It's a bit of a, you know, got to put everything together there.
He's getting up there with like Zach Greinke as one of the weirdest guys on the
pump. I love Zach Greinke.
Greinke's crazy too. He throws like a harder changeup than his fastball sometimes.
Like,
what?
Why? For fun?
Why not?
Why, may as well.
Yeah. But it was Jackie Robinson Day around Major League Baseball. Everyone donning number 42. Jays hosting the Yankees in game 1 of 3. Activating Danny Jansen off the IL before this one as well. Chris Bassett, like we mentioned, up against Luis Gil of the Yankees. Jays have taken both of their home series to start, but usually laid a stinker at one point. Let's hope this one was not going to be one of those. Maybe Luis Gil was going to help them out. He'd walk 5 of the first 8 Jays, walking IKF, and then scoring Biggio. And then his control got a little wobbly, and his stamina was so low. Like, you know, on, like, when you're playing baseball video games, you load the bases, your controller's shaking.
Yeah.
That's what I was getting with Luis Gil after he did this.
Kirk on third, Varsho on second, IKF on first. All three walked. The 0-1. Down and away, and it gets to the backstop. Kirk taking off for the play. He'll score without a throw. Varsho up to third, IKF to second, 2-1 Blue Jays.
Yeah, Kirko gives the Jays their first lead of the game.
Didn't even have to slide, just stand up, just plotted in there.
Hell yeah.
Rumbled in. Look out, world, here he comes.
Dalton Varsho, God love him. He's been playing well. He's been swinging the bat well of late. But on the ground out by Springer, he had a chance to go home, make it 3-1. Didn't even leave. Stood right there. So the Jays, despite having the bases loaded, only get 2 in that inning. Bottom third, Jays get the heel again, thanks to Kirko.
2-1. Swinging a hard ground ball, fair ball. Tight roping the third baseliner into left field. Bichette around third, he'll score. Kirk into second, his first extra base hit of the season is an RBI double, 3-1 Blue Jays.
Yeah, first double for Kirko, Bichette scores. Kirk getting all the offense last night. Chris Bassett goes back-to-back with tidy starts. 1 run on 4 hits, bullpen followed suit with Meza, Green, and Garcia going 3 hitless. Jays win 3-1, are back over the 500 mark for the first time since opening day. Yankees lose back-to-back for the first time all season as well. Jays look for 4th straight tonight. 5:07 first pitch on Sportsnet. It's a beauty matchup as well. Carlos Rondon versus Yusei Kikuchi. Before the game, sorry, yes.
I was just going to say, Kirk's, you know, a couple of good games swinging the bat here now, and also not totally crazy to me that as Danny Jensen gets activated and your playing time looks like it's about to drop, bat's swinging well all of a sudden, and the guy's running the base as well.
But I think Kirk can be better when he's not relied on every day, and you can split him with Danny Jansen. I think everything just gets better for the pitching when Jansen's back there. I think you're going to start seeing a better Jays offense and pitching going forward.
But it does get harder to get Kirk in the lineup because at all costs you want Justin Turner out there as your DH.
They're going to have some more problems potentially in the bullpen. Like Yimi Garcia, they're using as their de facto closer right now. But before the game, John Schneider and Eric Swanson, John Schneider said that Jordan Romano and Eric Swanson are getting close, maybe getting activated today perhaps, or maybe even ahead of tomorrow's matinee. But either way, you're going to fill out this bullpen. We talked about how good this bullpen is. It can only get better with Romano and Swanson.
They're on a little bit of a streak here. They've won 3 in a row, minus the little speed bump for Gausman there on Friday.
Yep.
You mentioned it, back above 500. They're getting their guys back. Everyone feels like that training camp, those extra 2 weeks of training camp are finally done.
Yep.
You can kind of turn the page and start playing some good baseball. And to be doing it against a divisional rival is going to be big.
Yeah.
Especially one that's probably going to win the division.
Yeah, you'll be fighting with these guys definitely for a playoff spot for sure. Elsewhere around the big leagues, did you see the Dong Bong got a bit of an upgrade in Baltimore?
I did not.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Look at this.
Ladies and gentlemen,
that's an amped up homer hose right there.
Ryan Mountcastle, meanwhile, is continuing to hit the single into right field hose. Look at this machine. What does that say? The Homer Hydration Station? Well, if you want the sequel to be better than the original, you got your wish.
Yeah, so remember last year they had the Homer Hydration Station. We called it the Dong Bong, but they don't like it.
The Homer Hose.
The Homer Hose, where, you know, they pour some water or Gatorade through a little beer bong type thing, and after a home run. Well, it's got four extra appendages to it now, so you can do multiple drinks, have, you know, other guys, you know, two guys going at it. You know, it's great.
All the guys you bring in.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, the Orioles are having fun. They're a hell of a team. 7-4 wins over the Twins. They're 10-6 on the year and make it 97 straight series without being swept.
That dates
back all the way back to when they called up Adley Rutschman back in the summer of 2022.
It's a pretty impressive little run here. I'm just looking at all these guys drinking from the Homer hose. This thing's probably seen a few college parties, eh?
Oh, just a
I think that's what it's designed for.
Oh, exactly.
I would estimate.
Yep. They should sell them at Camden Yards. NBA play-in series get underway tonight. GVP.
That would be such a mess in the stands.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine? You and your best friends just pouring a bunch of warm
just
Miller Lights in there.
Yeah, just flappy. You know, you get this $80, all the beers you can drink. There you go. That's what I'd do. It'd be pretty bad, though. NBA play-ins get underway with the West tonight. 7 seed and a date with the Nuggets on the line when the Pelicans host the Lakers. Loser will play against the winner of the next match, the 8-9 game between the Warriors and the Kings. Loser there is done. Winner, like I said, will play the loser of the Lakers and Pelicans for the right to take on the winner. I've been hearing that maybe the Lakers should lose this game to avoid playing OKC, but I'm like,
maybe.
Just get into the postseason.
Just get in, right? Like, I don't think the Lakers really necessarily have much of a chance against the Nuggets, but, you know, when you're talking about LeBron James, you can never really count the guy out. He's been playing just unreal down the stretch here. I like their chances against the Pelicans tonight. Whether or not they really want to win that game is up for debate, but, I think that narrative's dumb. Try to win games.
Exactly.
The regular season is done. What are you talking about?
Win every game.
Win and you're in. You don't have to worry about playing Steph, perhaps.
Yeah, exactly.
Chump mentality.
The Warriors are 8-2 in their last 10 right now, and they've been playing really well. It's been all in the back of Steph Curry, but
trying to pick your opponent almost never goes well.
No.
Because the other thing, too, is your opponent finds out, and they got a chip on their shoulder. And the last thing you need is someone with extra motivation in the postseason.
I wouldn't even really like the Lakers' chances too much against the Thunder anyway.
Yeah. Also,
like, you give them a puncher's chance. Maybe it goes 6 games, but still.
Yeah, I think it's just people like, ooh, GVP or OKC's due.
Yeah.
To the postseason.
They're deep, man, and they're well coached. Yeah.
GVP's due, too. He's been grinding for the last 5 days here.
Lakers and Pelicans are the 7-8. Warriors and Kings are the 9-10. Seeds. Wednesday will be the Eastern play-in. Sixers host the Heat. Bulls host the Hawks. And Monday was also the WNBA draft, touted as one of the best classes in league history. But we all know who was going number one.
With the
same
first
sound
pick
effect.
In
Love
the
that.
2024 WNBA draft, the Indiana Fever select Caitlin Clark, University of Iowa.
Yeah, the Indiana Fever at the NCAA's all-time leading scorer in Clark, joining last year's first overall pick, Aaliyah Boston. Cameron Brink out of Stanford went 2 to the LA Sparks. Camilla Cardoso, Final Four MOP, goes number 3 to Chicago. They also took Angel Reese at 7. I'm sure they'll be able to put their pass behind them as the Chicago Skyline added a couple more towers there. And Canadian Aaliyah Edwards went number 6 to the Washington Mystics. Also, it sounds like USA Basketball needed to flex their muscles because they're maybe afraid, but it looks like they're close to naming the team that will go to Paris in the summer. All your favorites, like American is Apple Pie, Joel Embiid, LeBron James, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, Devin Booker, the Ant-Man, Anthony Edwards, Jason Tatum, Drew Holiday, Bam Adebayo, Tyrese Halliburton, and there's one more open spot for one lucky player.
I'd be interested to see who that last guy is. It all depends on who wants to go.
Like, that's that's your bench, like, right there. That's your last
like
man.
Dame's not
there
on that list just yet. Kawhi probably won't go, but yeah.
Why, you know what's funny? Pat Bev called Kawhi maybe one of the best players. A healthy Kawhi is one of the best players to ever play basketball.
Probably not wrong. Like, not, I mean,
when he's healthy and geared up,
he doesn't play enough.
I know.
You're a basketball player that doesn't like to play basketball.
So he's the
Brooks
Koepka of the NBA.
He's pretty indifferent, eh? He's like, he got my ring. The money's there. Yeah.
He got three rings? Two rings? Two rings. Yeah, so. Yeah. We'll see. They've got a lot of players to pick from.
Guys, the Raptors season is mercifully over.
Yeah, they're postseason.
Dark will speak today, and that'll be it.
Yep. Maybe we get some clips. NFL volunteer workout.
Thank you, Doug.
Voluntary workouts open up around the league, and as we're just 9 days away from the draft now.
Ridiculous.
Eagles doing some business, giving Devontae Smith a raise, 3 years, $75 million, with 51 of it guaranteed, keeping him in Philly through the 2028 season. And speaking of those workouts, to a surprise of absolutely no one, Justin Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb not present, as both those two are in search of new long-term deals, almost like a who's going to sign first, with that second one probably getting a lot more, both those two entering the final year of their rookie deals.
I thought this was pretty rich, but if he's the guy that you think he's going to just keep getting better and he makes your offense move, like, there aren't a lot of successful teams that only have one receiver. I find that if you got your two, especially if they got a little bit of crash and bang, a little bit of way to do it. I like Smith a lot. And Howie Roseman doesn't miss very often.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good ad.
And one last note, Calgary Canucks can get one step closer to winning their AJHL title. They were able to take the first two up in White Court, 5-1 and 5-2. Game three tonight from the Ken Bracco Arena at Max Bell, 7 o'clock start. Game four goes tomorrow night, same time. Get out and support those Canucks and get your tickets at tickets.calgarycanucks.ca. That's your morning report.
Game three, game four are going to be a lot of fun.
I wonder if Cron will be making an appearance.
We'll see about tomorrow. TBD. Maybe. If you want a BMW, choose Motorworks for service and repairs that will gladly match and then beat any competitor's price by 10% on 51st Avenue and on 3rd Street Southeast. That'll do it for hour number one around the corner. We're going to have a little bit of chat about Dustin Wolf. Luke Gazik's going to join us at 7:30. We got Ben Shulman joining us to talk a little bit of Jays just after 8 o'clock. And we'll unleash the text topic next around the corner right here. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.